Bible, Numbers chapter 11, for our second reading. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Excuse me one second. And Moses also was displeased. Verse 11, And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me the 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. Until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibrot HaTavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibrot HaTavah unto Hazarot and abode at Hazarot. May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing of His most holy word. So the first few verses of this chapter, verses 1 through 3, we have the complaining of the people and the fire that broke out. This is what the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he is warning the Corinthian church not to murmur against the Lord. Murmuring is a wicked sin. It's a great sin. And yet it is something that we seem to advertise in our society as being discriminating. If you know to complain, well, that means you're more highbrow than the rest. Hogwash. That's a lie. And it's a lie that will injure your soul. Murmuring is a wicked sin. Contentment is a wondrous grace. So let's remember those things. And as the children of Israel have complained here, they will go on to complain. And finally, the Lord will say, in just a few chapters, I've had enough. They've murmured against me these 10 times. That's it. No land for you. No land of promise. Your carcasses will die in the wilderness. So what did they murmur about? Well, they found all kinds of things to murmur about. They murmured about the food in the wilderness that God made appear miraculously. They did not have to work for it. All they had to do was to go and gather it. We see the other side of their murmuring here, in that the Lord provides for them quails. Now, I want you to understand that the Lord provided them quails not as a mercy to them. He provided them quails as a probation unto them, as a test. Sometimes, here's what happens. This is the scriptural pattern. The people of God get themselves dissatisfied. They express their murmuring and their complaint to the Lord for whatever this dissatisfaction is. The Lord expresses His own displeasure at them for murmuring. They ask of Him in their murmuring for something they ought not to have. The Lord grants them what they ought not to have. They partake of it, and that stirs the Lord up to a greater anger against them. That's the scriptural pattern. Although the Lord sent quails unto them so that they would eat for a month of quails, and they would do what? What did the Lord say? They would again murmur. What does a murmurer want? Something he doesn't have. That's it. So when he gets the thing he's been murmuring about or for, he will soon be discontented and murmuring again. This is what the Lord teaches us in this passage. That the secret is not, if I could just have that one other thing, then I'll be okay. Because that's not the secret. In fact, that's a lie. You'll not be okay when you set your hope on that thing. The secret is what Paul says in the book of Philippians, which we read last week. that whether I am abounding or whether I am abased, I have learned how to be content in every estate. Remember what we said last week? What does a covetous man want? Just more. That's it. Doesn't matter what. Just more. What did these people want? They wanted quails. And when the Lord gave them quails, then they began to murmur again. And when they ate that meat, the Lord's anger was kindled against them because they went ahead and did what He had said they did not need to do. You remember the Lord did the same thing with Balak, didn't He? And Balaam. Remember? Balak came to Balaam and said, I'll make you a rich man if you'll prophesy against Israel. Balaam said, well, the Lord told me you were coming. I can't go with you. Sorry. Balak comes again with greater, more honorable men, bigger presence. And so Balaam, seeing that, says, well, let me go ask again. Maybe I'll have leave. And the Lord says, go with him, but say only what I told you to say. And it says that Balaam got up and went with him. And then it says immediately in the passage that the Lord's anger was kindled against Balaam because he went. You say, well, Pastor, the Lord gave him permission to go. The first word from the Lord was don't associate with him and don't go with him. That Balaam asked a second time was a sin. That the Lord set that probation out in front of him and he went the wrong direction was a sin. And so the Lord's anger was kindled against him. You see, it's often that way, isn't it? The Lord tells us His word. We ask again because we didn't like it much. And so the Lord gives us another path. Not because it's the right path, so that He might test us to see whether or not we would follow His word or not. Notice also that this lusting of theirs came about because it was a mixed multitude. What does it mean that there was a mixed multitude? Well, I don't think the children of Israel came out of Egypt alone. I think there were quite a few Egyptians that joined themselves to Israel. But that mixed multitude fell a-lusting. Isn't that what it says? So that mixed multitude then, remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good morals, good manners. All right, so then we have that, and then we have the scene with Moses. And Moses here, we have a good desire that, can I say it this way, it kind of goes to seed. It's a good desire, but it goes to seed. And when it goes to seed, we find that it's not all good fruit. So Moses desires to be a good minister. He desires to care for the people. But notice that when they begin to ask for things he cannot give, that Moses becomes frustrated. Let me not see my wretchedness, he says. And so, kill me outright rather than placing the burden of this people upon me. Let us remember that Moses' life is not his own to give. The same is true with all of us. We cannot say to the Lord, I'm going to take the reins back, if you will. It doesn't belong to us. And so Moses had no right to say that to the Lord. And yet the Lord was patient and kind with his erring servant, wasn't he? Moses did have a good desire to lead the people rightly, and the people were being unruly, such that Moses, we might say, allowed himself to be driven to these straits rather than remaining steadfast. And so Moses had indeed a moment of great weakness here. But the Lord was kind to his wayward servant, and he gave that same spirit, that spirit of prophecy, to teach the people of God to 68 and 2, right? 68 of them came to the tabernacle. Two of the elders did not come. They stayed in their tents, but they began prophesying too somewhere else in the camp, Eldad and Medad. And Joshua says to him, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses, remember what Moses has just done. Moses has remonstrated, complained before the Lord. You can't put the burden of this people upon me. And so Moses responds to Joshua, would all God's people were prophets, Joshua. Don't you understand? This is what we want. We want God's people to know His word in such a way that the plowman and the servant have such a grasp of the Word of God. Right? So we see Moses' mixed behavior here. In some cases rebellious, and in other cases very much a man after God's heart. And I might just say one more thing that some theologians have seen in this prophecy of Joel that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. What does Moses call for here? Would that all God's people were prophets, that the Spirit of God rested upon all of them. But what exactly is the promise of the New Testament? That I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions. Then I will pour out my Spirit upon your children, and they shall prophesy. And so there is indeed this distinction between the Old and New Testament that is played forth here for us in Numbers chapter 11. Thus ends the reading. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.